In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We celebrate today on the first Friday of the month the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori. So first, just a reminder of the first Friday devotion, which is the first Friday of 9 consecutive months to receive Holy Communion. And then it's presumed that then this is offered as an act of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which has loved us so much and yet has been loved so little. And so for 9 months in a row to receive Holy Communion on the first Friday. And again, just to clear it up, because everyone always wonders, do you have to go to confession on the first Friday? Actually, you don't. Okay, so the first Friday devotion is just communion. It's very straightforward, actually. It's a real easy one. The Sacred Heart's very easy devotion to cultivate. So it's just Holy Communion. Obviously, presume that communion be in the state of grace. Now, First Saturday, on the other hand, on the day, on First Saturday itself, to pray the rosary, 5 decades of the rosary, and then to spend an additional 15 minutes in meditation on the mysteries, one or more mysteries. This could be another 5 decades would be just fine too, or scripture reading on those mysteries would also be good too. So on the day is 5 decades and 15 more minutes of meditation, and then for the first Saturday devotion, and then a couple days before or after to go to communion, and then even a couple of weeks before or after to go to confession. So the communion and confession can be a few days before, or even, as I say, with confession, even a week or more before or after is just fine. But on the day, on First Saturday itself, it's 15 decades of the 5 decades of the rosary and 15 minutes of meditation. And the first Saturday is 5 months. 5 months for the first Saturday and 9 months for the first Friday devotion. Now, St. John Vianney once said that the priesthood is the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The priesthood is the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so, especially here on the first Friday, when we think about the Sacred Heart of our Savior, and as we celebrate the feast of this great saint and bishop, Alphonsus Liguori, we consider this line from John Vianney. John Vianney himself looked to St. Alphonsus as an example of what it was to be a good priest and a good confessor. John Vianney says that it was reading St. Alphonsus' writings that taught him how to be a good confessor. You recall, of course, John Vianney was the one who heard confessions for around 16 hours a day. Puts the rest of us to shame. None of us are... Sometimes they say, oh, Father Ryan, you have a lot of confessions. No, I don't, actually. Ours was a very small town, much smaller than Great Falls, and he had 16 hours a day. Now, you all might be way holier than his parishioners were. Perhaps that's why there's not nearly 16 hours every day. We don't even get to 16 hours a week here, sadly, but we're getting close at least. We're getting close to that, so praise God. So John Vianney says the priesthood is the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I mention confession because St. Alphonsus is the patron saint of confessors. And it seems to me that in all the sacraments, of all the sacraments, confession and communion, seen as being taken together, confession and communion together, strike us as where we see the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the real essence of the priesthood put before our hearts and our minds. Right? More than ever, confession and the Holy Mass are the two places where we see the love of Christ and where we see the priesthood most clearly. So a few words then on confession today. St. Alphonsus, the patron saint of confessors. He's a doctor of the church, and he's called the doctor of moral theology. So that means of all the people who have written, of all the saints who have written on moral theology, St. Alphonsus has pride of place. His writings have a certain preeminence among all the writings on moral theology, and especially for confessors. So the church would want priests to look at St. Alphonsus' writings in a very particular way and study them in order to be a good confessor. Very sadly, these writings are almost none of them are available in English, so you have to know Latin or Italian in order to read them, which, of course, just shows what a sad state we are in these days, since, of course, most priests can't read either Latin or Italian, and therefore St. Alphonsus's wealth of knowledge is oftentimes not spread to the parish level. So St. Alphonsus, when he writes about the good confessor, he says that the good confessor is a father, is a physician, is a teacher, and is a judge. So father, physician, teacher, and judge. And I want to talk about those four characteristics of the good confessor just briefly, as this, I think, inspires us to want to go to confession, and also, even though it's a great warning and admonition for the priest, it's a great inspiration for the people to know what confession is really all about. If we understand the role of the confessor, then we also might understand our role as the person going to confession. So first of all, St. Alphonsus says that the priest is a father. That's his first characteristic. Before being a judge, he's a father. That's very important for St. Alphonsus. He lived during a time where there was a heresy called Jansenism, where there was a very strict way of interpreting the commandments of God, and the Jansenists strongly discouraged regular communion, so that people would scarcely ever go to communion if they were unlucky enough as to be under a Jansenist priest. And so St. Alphonsus fought against them very effectively to say, right, we need to be in the state of grace to receive communion, but it's the priest's job to bring them to the state of grace. Right? It doesn't do any good simply to deny communion week after week after week. He says it's the priest's job to bring the people to the state of grace so that they can receive the sacrament worthily. Right? So it's not about denying communion, it's about more confession. Right? That was his big point. More confession, and help them in the confessional. So he says, first of all, the priest is a father. So the great characteristic of the confessor is charity. Right? That should be very obvious. The first thing a confessor ought to have is charity, a true love for souls. Right? A true love for souls. Now then also, this charity is a fatherly charity. Right? It's a fatherly charity, which means he speaks with authority. Right? The love that he has for souls is as one who's a shepherd of those souls. So it's a charity within this authority that he has over the souls who've been entrusted to his care, and especially those who are coming, the one who's come before him, for confession at that particular moment. So to have a charity for them, for that soul, but then to exercise his authority as the father of that soul, as a father to that soul. And I know that this can be rather ironic if you're unlucky enough to have a priest who can barely even grow facial hair, right? So it's hard if you're a younger priest as opposed to a wise elderly priest who's, say, 88 and a half. That would be quite a blessing if we had someone like that to go to confession to. But in any case, whether the priest is young or old, of course, the priesthood he has received is very old and ancient indeed, right? So the priesthood he has received is what makes him a father, not the age of his body. So he's a father to the souls, which means he has great charity and love for souls, and then also has an authority over them. And so a father, then, he protects and he nourishes those who are entrusted to his care. So that's what we want to look for first and foremost. The father is not a dictator. Right? In the home, the father must not be a dictator. So a spirit of gentleness is very important for all fathers, right? We know that for sure, that a gentle spirit goes a long way, right? So the father should have a gentle spirit and yet firm at times as well. And so too then the priest in his fatherly role as a confessor, in that great charity, a gentleness of spirit, and yet also firmness, exercising his authority when needed. But a physician now, father, and he's now a physician. So a physician means curing the sick. So his job is to cure the ailments of your soul and of my soul too. Right? That's what the confessor does. He has to cure the ailments of the soul. Now we all know, sometimes you might find a doctor who's quite fun and enjoyable, right? And we like that when we have a doctor who's very fun. I'm thinking of a couple doctors right now who have a very cheerful disposition and are very pleasant, and especially if it's a doctor that's seeing families or especially children, you really hope that they would have a very cheery disposition and be very funny and friendly and maybe make jokes. And you probably have seen doctors who are like that, right? And that's good, right? That's good, right? They're physicians, but they should have that good disposition, that pleasant demeanor. But I would say this. Go to one of those physicians who's so cheery and chipper all the time and makes jokes with the kids and gives them lollipops and all of that. Just go to those doctors and say, you know, we decided that we're not gonna use medicine for this or that disease, and see how the doctor feels about it, right? Or say, like, our child has this disease or that disease, but we decided we're not gonna take any procedure to cure it, right? Because it would hurt the poor kid. And we don't want to make him cry. So he doesn't like the taste of that cough medicine, so we're just not going to give it to him. And just see if that doctor stays chipper. You know, just see if he keeps laughing about it or not. I bet you he won't. I bet he won't think it's funny at all, right? Oh, but we don't want to hurt the poor boy, right? Well, he doesn't like the taste of it, right? And just see what that doctor would say. Well, so too then with the priest, right? As a physician, he has to be willing to inflict a certain amount of pain upon the soul so as to bring about healing. That's oftentimes how we're cured of ailments, right? A certain amount of suffering must be inflicted in order to bring about healing. I think of St. Paul in the second letter he wrote to the Corinthians, where he says, I heard that my first letter made you sorrowful. And he says, and of course this grieves me that you were so saddened by my first letter. But he says, I pray that sadness will be to your benefit so that you would convert. Right? So he says, I don't want you to be sad, but I'd rather you be sad and convert than happy and fall into hell. Right? That's what St. Paul is saying. So he's a true physician there for the poor Corinthians, who are very sick indeed, very, very sickly in their souls. And so also then the confessor as a physician has to be willing to inflict a certain amount of pain. And of course, that pain that we're speaking of now is that spiritual anguish and sorrow for sin, right? Sometimes this happens where someone comes in very, very sorry for their sins, and the priest kind of, it's like his job seems to be to make them not sorry for their sins. That's crazy, right? That's just crazy. His whole job is to make them even more sorry for their sins. Right? That's the key. Contrition is the goal, right? So we don't want the priest to say, like, oh, no, that's okay, I'm sure you're trying your best. No, that's no help, right? That's no help at all. That would be like the doctor when the child has some terrible disease who says, oh, well, they don't like the medicine, so just let them die of that disease rather than having them have to taste some bad medicine. Right? It'd be crazy. So he has to be a physician, willing to inflict pain so as to bring healing. A teacher. In this day and age, it's essential. In this day and age, probably more than ever, it's essential. So much does the confessor need to be a teacher. Why is it so essential today? It's essential, first of all, because people are very learned today, right? Almost everyone can read and write, especially in our country. You know, most of the people coming to confession can read, right? This was not a benefit that was enjoyed for a long time, but now people can read. So the potential for teaching through the confessional is extremely high. Far more than ever before. Far, far more. And I just think, oh, if St. Alphonsus lived today, we would all be doing so much better. He would be able to teach so much in the confessional. So that's one reason why there should be a lot of teaching in the confessional, because people are far better educated today than ever before, and they have so many more resources, not to mention that books are very inexpensive. You know, books used to be very expensive. Now they're inexpensive. And in fact, a lot of these resources are even available online for free. It's just amazing. You know, never before have we had so many resources at the click of a button just right there for us. And yet, at the same time, of course, we live in an age where there's very, very little catechesis, right? Nobody knows anything anymore, it seems like. Right? Very few people know how to make a good confession. Very, very few. And even people of goodwill have no idea how to make a confession, because they've never been taught. And so it's the duty of the priest, the solemn duty of the priest, to teach in the confessional, to instruct first of all on how to make a good confession, and then also to instruct the penitent in how to grow in holiness. So now, what can you do in this regard? ask questions. You know, a lot of times the priest will say, does that all make sense? Do you have any questions? Well, if it doesn't make sense, say, no, Father, I don't get it. Just ask, right? Or if you do have another question, just ask it. Really, it's fine. Children are far more bold, and they ask questions all the time. Adults, we're so silly. We don't ask questions when we should, right? Take the opportunity. Don't say, oh, well, I don't want to bother Father, or oh, there's a long line, or something like that. No. Doesn't matter how long the line is. You're the soul in front of him right now. You're the one he's responsible for. He will have to answer for God for every confession that he heard. He won't have to answer for the people that didn't get in. He will have to answer for everyone who gets into the confessional. As soon as he starts to hear that confession, the priest will have to answer for it on the last day. And if he rushes someone through, he'll have to pay for that someday. Right? That's a scary thought, terrible thought. So don't feel like you need to be rushed through by any means. Today, more than ever, we need to teach in the confessional. And you can help the priest to teach by asking questions, because then he'll know how to instruct. And furthermore, the confessional is a time for spiritual direction. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. The confessional is a time for spiritual direction. It really is. No matter what anyone ever tells you, it really is. St. Alphonsus makes it very clear. The priest has a duty to instruct the people in how to grow in the life of prayer. He has to do it. It's his job. It's his job. He has to tell you how to grow in the life of prayer. So never feel bad about asking for advice in terms of the spiritual life. It's his job. He's a teacher. Right? Okay, finally, after all of that, he's a judge. It is a judge. So he helps to determine whether the sin is mortal or venial. He helps to determine whether it's a venial sin or maybe just a slight neglect, something like this, right? So he can help you to make those sorts of judgments, right? He's not a judge in the sense of judging whether you're a good person or a bad person, right? He's not a judge like that, but a judge in the sense of making the judgments about the sins that are confessed. And there, of course, again, he can help you there too. If you're not sure what accounts to make a mortal sin, or if you're not sure whether it was a mortal sin or a venial sin and so forth, it's good. You can ask him, and he can help give you a judgment. He can also be a judge in terms of spiritual experiences, and I don't need to say too much about that, but the point being that if there's a question we have from our spiritual life, and we need a judgment to be made, like was this from God, or was this from the devil, or this from my imagination, he's a judge. The priest is supposed to be a judge. So he can help to make judgments about those matters. Although he's not infallible, right? He's not infallible. So sometimes the priest will be grumpy. He won't be much of a father. Sometimes he won't be a very good physician and he won't cure the ill. Sometimes he doesn't give good advice. He's not a good teacher. And sometimes even he makes an error in judgment. You know, even if he's trying to do good, he might misunderstand something, right? So obviously he's not infallible, but I'm sure that the Lord will always use him in some way, at least, if you're open to it and if he's open to it, in some way the Lord will use him to give at least one word that can console your poor soul and give you strength to persevere. And so now again, finally, on the Feast of St. Alphonsus, we renew our love for the sacrament of confession and think again of confession and Holy Communion as this great opportunity to receive the love of the heart of Jesus into our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.